कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे कृष्ण Everybody please say loudly Hare Krishna
Krishna
Hare Krishna
Hare Krishna
Hare Krishna
Krishna Krishna
Krishna Krishna
Hare Hare
Hare Hare
Hare Rama
Hare Rama
Hare Rama
Hare Rama
Rama Rama
Rama Rama
Hare Hare
Hare Hare
So even if I did nothing else in Uli Anasana, I got everyone to chant Hare Krishna Godro Madhame Bhajan Anukule Bhaktivinoda Thakur is describing his devotional service at Godroom. That, we were talking about that yesterday, Swaranda Sukhada Kunj. His home, he called it Swaranda Sukhada Kunj. Swananda means Swa means own, Ananda, pleasure. Swa means Swayam.
Swayam.
So that means your own happiness or real happiness. So real happiness is Krishna consciousness. Everything else is artificial. And Shukada means that which gives happiness. And Kunj means forest grove. So he's living in the forest grove, which is a place of giving real happiness from the soul. The place he's living at is called Godroom. This is in Navadvip Dham, and he says this place is very favorable for devotion. Definitely, if we can live in a holy place, that's very favorable for our devotion. Now, Navadvip Dham is none different from Vrindavan Dham. Sri Gaura Mandava Bhumi, Jiva Jane, Chintamani, Tar Hoy, Braja Bhumi Vash. Narottam Das says that whoever understands that the places of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes in West Bengal are none different from Vrindavan, that person, he is qualified to actually live in Vrindavan. So these places are very favorable for bhajan. Bhajan means to become absorbed in hearing and chanting Lord Krishna. So it's very nice if from time to time our devotees can visit these places and chant Hare Krishna. Prabhupada wanted our devotees to visit these places and therefore make facilities for them. And every Vaishnava aspires at the end of his life to live either in Mayapur or Vrindavan, just to spend his last days chanting Hare Krishna. Prabhupada told one devotee once that in your old age you should simply go to Vrindavan or Mayapur and chant Hare Krishna. But you have to preach throughout your life. Otherwise, if even at the end of your life, if you go there to chant Hare Krishna, if you haven't preached throughout your life, then your mind will still disturb you. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur is residing in Godroom, which is none different from the house of from the place of Nanda Maharaj, Nandagram, in Mathura Mandal. That is the place of Krishna's childhood pastimes. Tahima Surabhi Kunj Kutire Boitamoham Surati Suratatani Tire. He says that there in Surabhi Kunj, that Surabhi Kunj is another name for Godroom, because this is the place where the Surabhi cow from heavenly planets came to the darshan of Krishna. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur has his cottage there. So he says, I will sit there and chant Hare Krishna on the bank of the celestial Ganga. Gaura Bhagata Priya Vesh Dodhana Tilakto Simala Shobhamana. He said, he's describing all the things which are favorable for cultivating our devotion. He says, I will wear the kind of dress, I will dress in the kind of clothes which are preferred by the devotees of Lord Chaitanya. So that kind of dress is not blue jeans. That kind of dress is dhoti or lady sari. Of course, for doing some services such as construction, some certain kind of clothes may be needed. And it more practical to use it. But those who are surrendered to Krishna, they want to do everything which is favorable for cultivating. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur is describing all the things favorable for devotion in these songs. One of them is to wear devotional clothes, which he mentions here, and also to wear tilak and Tulsi Lala. So we would like to tell all the devotees that better when you come to the temple, even when you don't need to wear, if there's absolutely no need for it, don't wear these non-devotional clothes. Sometimes I see even devotees that come to Mangal Arati in their jeans. Of course, it's better than the people who are sleeping not going to Mangal Arati. But if we're going to come to see Krishna, it's nice to we should come in the kind of dress that he likes to see us in. You may say, well, I'm very busy, I have to go in Sankirtan or whatever. But it only takes 5 minutes to change our clothes. Also, wearing tilak, so many devotees who don't wear tilak. It's actually an offense not to wear tilak. Lord Chaitanya would never see any of his followers unless they were wearing tilak. So people who are coming new, they don't know these things, you don't have to press them. Those who are living in the temple, they should know these things. I travel in different places in the world, and Russia is the only place where I see devotees regularly coming to Mangal Arati in blue jeans. So you may be happy to know that all over the world, the devotees, they're very happy about the spread of Krishna consciousness in Russia. It's very pleasing to all the devotees to see how in these countries where Krishna consciousness was banned, how the Russian people, at least some of them, have taken to it very enthusiastically. It's very pleasing to the devotees all over that in countries where this movement was banned, that so many people are now taking to Krishna consciousness enthusiastically. Mm-hmm. So you have to keep up the reputation. You have to come up to the proper standard. Okay. Very simple, basic things. Wear your devotional clothes, look like a Vaishnava, feel like a Vaishnava, be a Vaishnava. Tilak, Tulsi, Mala, Shobhana. This means that Tilak and Tulsi Mala, they actually make devotee look very beautiful and auspicious. Champak, Bakul, Kadamba, Kamal, Ropata, Niramibo, Kunja Vishal. He says that he's going to plant different trees in his forest bower. See, he has a little cottage with a little open space surrounded by trees and jungle woods. So these are different trees which are very pleasing to Krishna. Champak gives beautiful flowers which are very pleasing to Krishna. Very beautiful fragrance. And Bakul is also very pleasing to Krishna. It's also called Parija. You see in Krishna book how Satyabhama, she got the Parija tree. She got Krishna to go to the heavenly planets for that. So Kadamba, that's also very pleasing to Krishna. Round flowers, maybe you've seen. And Tamal, that is especially pleasing to Srimati Radhanam, because that tree is very black color, just the same color as Krishna. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is proposing to plant all these trees and make a beautiful forest flower. Madhavi Malati Uthabun Thahe Chaya Mandap Karabun Tonghi Mahe. He says that around the trees, these are flower trees, and there are also some flowers which grow on creepers. Madhavi and Malati, these are flowers which grow on creepers. And they grow and they give nice flowers, and also they're, by growing, they spread a nice shade. So it's, you can imagine, very nice jungle grove, beautiful flowers giving a nice, beautiful scent. Of course, in the tropical countries, you find these kind of plants. They grow very quickly. Okay. There are many flowers, very good smell. Especially Bengal, the land is very fertile, and the climate is so nice. That's so many nice flowers and vegetables and fruits they grow. Rupavong tatra kushum bonaraji juti jati mali. Viraji Varshanji. So he's saying, I'll also put all different kinds of flowers in that, make a garden there with all different kinds of flowers. A forest of flowers. He's given the names. Kusham, Juti, Jati, Mali. These are all different flowers. Just like there's this one flower, this night blooming jasmine. At night, the smell so beautiful. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur is not desiring to plant all these trees for sense gratification, but to make a favorable atmosphere for chanting Hare Krishna. Especially because that place, that is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's dham, his holy place. So if you make a garden there, or if you do any service there, that is service to Krishna. Manche Vashavon Tulashi Maharani. He says, he's talking about Tulsi Mancha. So you'll find still in Bengal, Orissa especially, you'll find that people will keep in the courtyard of their house one, just like a column, and on top they'll keep Tulsi planted. That's called Tulsi Mancha. So when you walk in, usually the homes, they're arranged, they have a few different houses facing, with all the entrances facing towards each other, so it makes like a courtyard. And in the center of the courtyard will be Tulsi. So this is very auspicious. Every home should have Tulsi. And so of all the plants that have been mentioned, there are so many which are pleasing to Krishna, but Tulsi is the queen. Tulsi is the most pleasing to Krishna. Therefore she is called Tulsi Maharani. Kirtan Shadja Tahi Rakhavani. He says, and to this residence I will bring all the instruments for Kirtan. That specifically means Midanga and Kartans. In Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan movement, Midanga and Kartans are most important. Other instruments are not very important. And even if there are no instruments, you can clap your hand and chant Hare Krishna. Because the most important thing is the chanting. It's not very important how expertly you can play different Midanga rhythms. If you can do, that is nice. But that is only an accompaniment to the Kirtan. Sometimes devotees, you find they're so much absorbed in how they can take different rhythms. But simply by being an expert musician, we cannot attain love of God. Someone may be a brilliant, expert Madanga player, but have no devotion. And someone else, he may not be able even to sing properly in tune. But his singing is accepted by Krishna because it is full of devotion. Still, if we can play kirtan, mridanga, kartals, that is also inspiring to the kirtan. Krishna likes them. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's sankirtan, the devotees, they would also have mridanga, kartals. We play them, but we should know that the most important thing is the chant. Vaishnav Jana Shaha Gaumunav says, with the devotees, I will chant the holy name of Krishna. So we see that Bhaktivinoda Thakur is desiring to make a very nice place for worshipping Krishna. But he's not thinking that I will make a very nice place and I will simply chant by myself and enjoy it by myself. He's thinking, let other devotees come. Let us all chant Hare Krishna. So, same thing, our movement, we're making so many centers all over the world. Some nice facilities. But the idea is not so that we can simply live and chant Hare Krishna peacefully ourselves. But we should invite others also. That will please Krishna more than anything. There may be nice flowers and a nice arrangement and so many different nice things. But if there are no nice devotees to chant Hare Krishna, then it's not very pleasing. And even if the facilities are not very nice, even if we have to live in a crowded, polluted city, if there are devotees chanting Hare Krishna with love and faith, that is the favorable place for developing our devotion. You see, there are many rich materialists. They make some beautiful garden in their own home. Especially in Western Europe, you'll find these lords. Lords, yeah, means some aristocratic good. They have big house, but it's not very pleasing to devotees. Without Krishna consciousness, the most beautiful garden has no attraction. So, of course, we try to make a nice place so people can come. In the Bhagavatam, it is stated that one of the items of deity worship is to make nice parks and gardens. That means if one has the facilities to do so, if he has much, much money, then you can make nice parks and gardens. Then from time to time, the Lord can be brought out on a palanquin to enjoy his gardens. But even if we don't have such nice facilities, we should know that the real decoration for the temple is beautiful, smiling faces of the blissful devotees. This is more important than putting gold paint and so many different things. That we should also do. We should try to make some nice facility for the Lord and his devotees and for the public to come and see. But actually, even if the temple looks materially very beautiful, unless there are ecstatic devotees, it won't be very attractive to us. So again, the real decoration of the temple is the blissful devotees. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur is proposing to chant with the devotees. What will they chant? Jai Godrum, Jai Gorki Dham. All glories to this place of Godrum, which is the residence of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Bhakti Vinod, Bhakti Anukul, Jai Kunj, Munj, Shuranadiku. So he says, Bhakti Vinod, taking up everything which is favorable to devotional service, says Jai to the Kunj he is living in, and to the which is decorated and which is on the bank of the Ganga. Alright, so that's one very nice song describing the beautiful residence of Bhaktivinoda Thakur in Suravi Kunj. So we have a few minutes. Are there any questions?
What is the definition of time, and can we travel within time? Is it usually, how...
Wait a minute, one question.
Yeah.
You're already traveling in time. Second by second, life is going on. So better to use our time to understand Krishna. Because in course of time, we'll have to travel to another body. So better we make the arrangement to travel back to Godhead, where there is no more influence of time in the form of repeated birth and death.
Another question, can we trust to some predictors connected with future and so on?
Well, even if these predictions are true, what difference does it make? I can give you a prediction which I guarantee is 100% true about your life. Do you want to hear it? I know something about you. You're going to die. So you better get ready for it. You better get ready for that.
If you can to characterize the spiritual sentiment, because usually we're using to say the sensual sentiment.
Sensual means mundane sentiment.
But
difference between mundane sentiment and spiritual sentiment.
Yeah, but he means sentiment based in senses. And what is a definition of spiritual sentiment?
Spiritual sentiment means when we love Krishna without any material or personal desire. Neither gross desire nor subtle desire. And mundane sentiment means when we have personal desire. Now, it's very common for beginners in devotional service to mistake their mundane sentiments for spiritual sentiments. They think they have a very advanced feeling of love for Krishna. But, even though they may not recognize it themselves, they still have so many contaminations in the heart. Therefore, we should very carefully follow the process of devotional service under the guidance of an expert spiritual master. And engage our senses in the service of Krishna. This will purify our senses. Then gradually, our real sentiments for Krishna will be awakened.
Sometimes in Sankirtana, people asking how Krishna can allow such present situation in world.
Well, do you think that Krishna should just let you do all your nonsense and go on forever? Do you think that Krishna is just supposed to allow you to do all your nonsense forever? People are feeling very concerned now in Russia. They're worried about political instability. They're worried about their safety. So that why should this kind of thing not happen to you? You think you can just go on sending millions of cows to the slaughterhouse, having illicit sex and then making abortions, and then you go to God to pray for peace? Dear God, please give us peace so that we can peacefully slaughter the cows.
She is inspired to be your disciple and to chant your pranama. Can she hope to your mercy?
I'll speak with her. So now you don't have to ask me any more questions. Because if you're going back to Godhead, what else matters? Hare
Krishna.
Most people who join our movement are already somewhat older.
Older?
Means they're not joining at the age of 5. And it's not possible to go through the whole system as it was traditionally. However, those young men who join, we train them as brahmacharis.
Brahmacharis.
To be trained in discipline, love of God, service, all these things. Many brahmacharis, they later decide to get married. It is not compulsory. They decide to remain celibate, they may do also. But whatever course you decide to take in your life, it is recommended that you consider it very seriously and act very responsibly, either as a celibate monk or as a married monk. As far as women is concerned, it is recommended that they all get married. Oh, about the cloth. Well, what did she want to know about it? What it means, this is...
And also our unusual...
All right. Well, when I say unusual, I mean if you went to some other part of the world, they might think you look unusual. And even 200 years ago in Russia, this dress would be considered unusual. So, according to different cultures, people dress in different ways. According to Vedic culture, this kind of dress is, this color of cloth is adopted by monks. It has a purpose. The purpose is that when you see people dressed like this, you will think, there is a Hare Krishna devotee.
Krishna.
So if you think of Krishna, that is very good. You'll become purified by thinking of God. Another thing is that people, by seeing us, they can take advantage of us. Just like a policeman is dressed as a policeman, if you need help from the police, you know where to go. So if you're interested in Krishna consciousness, you see the devotees of Krishna, and you can then you can approach them and ask them. So there are many things could be said about this. About this, these beads are made from sacred wood, which is conducive for helping us to develop love of God. It's something like you're wearing the cross. So it's a very similar thing.
Maybe.
Now, I think our time is a little limited from the...
Yes. Last question.
Okay.
Unusual, interesting fact. In 20s, in this century, the followers of Vedic knowledge, they give to Lenin the name of son of Krishna. How are you thinking about this?
The name of Lenin, the son of Krishna?
Yeah.
Lenin means the son of Krishna?
Yeah. They were thinking about it. They called him son of Krishna.
Well, everyone's a son of Krishna. Just like it said, Jesus is just...
So very similar to the Vedas.
Actually, in many ways it is. Because the Vedic teachings, they teach that everyone is equal. Everyone is equal, but still there are differences. Just like you see some people are intellectually inclined, some people are artistically inclined, some people are musically inclined. So the Vedic society, that's another very interesting big subject which we don't have time to discuss. So that engages people according to their propensity. That in childhood a person is seen, what is his propensity? And he is trained in such a way that he can develop that propensity to the fullest extent possible. With the idea that everyone should, to their best capacity, live in this world for the benefit of others and for the glorification of God. Everyone should live in this world to his best capacity, work for the benefit of others and the glorification. So in many ways, the philosophy of Marx and the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, there are many similarities, with one essential difference. That Marx said everyone's energy should be channeled towards serving the state. The ultimate entity is the state. But Krishna consciousness teaches that the ultimate entity who should be served is God. And if God is served, then automatically the state will be peaceful and prosperous. All right, I think we could probably go on all day, but time and time.